Has somebody put a sign outside the church that I don't know about that says Stilte Kerk? Please, Lord, let this never be a church like that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stilte Kerk. Waar kom dit vandaan? Lord help us. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be here this morning. Because this is a day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn to three people around you en groet hulle ernstig met Jesus se liefde bietjie. Vanaam die wat nog nie geglimlat het nie. If you're visiting with us this morning, we trust that you feel right at home and comfortable in the presence of the Lord. We're busy with a sermon series called How to Live the Blessed Life. We're looking at Jesus' teaching, the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. And we've come to the unanimous conclusion that you can replace the word blessed with happy. And we've done this several times, so if you're visiting this morning, we're going to do it with you as well. How many of you want to be happy? Amen. Okay. How many of you don't want to be happy? You really enjoy being miserable and sad and battling and you enjoy being depressed. Okay. So we're speaking to the right people this morning. Jesus has been telling us week in and week out the following words from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. I'm going to pick up. If you've got your Bible, follow with me. It should come on the overhead as well. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to share in this word today. We know that this word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and of spirit and of bone and of marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. And as Nikki has said, Lord, your word will achieve the purposes for which you sent it forth this morning. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you prepare the soil of our hearts, our attitude, and the condition of our minds to receive your implanted word this morning, that it bears much fruit, Lord, that leads to the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Just to recap what we've done 2 weeks ago, last week we looked at our vision of this church again. 2 weeks ago before that we looked at the third part of the sermon. We discuss what it means to be weak, meek, not weak, meek. What is the meaning of meek? And we saw that it means to be humble. Having that kind of godly humility leads to authentic spiritual authority. You have authentic spiritual authority by being humble, not overpowering things and people and being arrogant, but having Christ-like humility. We looked at the fact that the best way to humble ourselves is to look at the life and the love of Jesus. We also looked at the concept of what does it mean to inherit the earth. And simply what it means is where God restores us back to the place of authority we had before him, before the fall of man in the garden. Mankind had the privilege of exercising dominion over all the works of God's hands in the garden. Then man got sidetracked with a bit of fruit salad. Or a bit of a garden salad that God said, stay away from the fruit of that tree. And mankind lost the position of all authority that he had before God. So when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Jesus is speaking about mankind being restored back to his rightful place before God, with Christ-like authority exercising dominion over the work of God's hands. Can you say amen? That's what we looked at 2 weeks ago. This week we're going to concentrate on verse 6, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Are you ready to experience the ride of your life this morning? Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, God's going to speak to you. Here you go. I wonder what some of you said. Some of you didn't say that. Aquario, I'm watching. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I wonder this morning, what are the things that we hunger and thirst for as people? Are the things that we hunger and thirst for as Christians destroying the hunger and thirst that we have for God? Or is it strengthening the hunger and thirst that we have for God? I wonder, what are you hungry and thirsty for this morning? What is the driving passion or desire behind the things that you do? What is the driving passion or desire behind the things that you do? The stuff that just motivates you more than anything else. Niemand hoef jou te sê, jy moet het doen. Nobody has to come and wake you up and say, hey, wake up. It's 10:45 in the morning. You got to get up and do whatever. No. You wake up before the birds wake up because this thing is consuming you. What are those things in your life that you hunger and thirst for this morning? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Psalm 42 verse 1 to 3 reads as follows. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is your God? Picture this. Picture this. It's a dry and parched land. Das niks in sig nie. There's no oasis. There's no engine one stop. There's no... You don't smell the smell of meat on a braai when you're hungry. You don't... There is geen hoop in sig. There is geen hoop in sig. And there's this deer panting for the water. And the psalmist says, my soul pants for God like that. In our walk with God, are we like that? Or the things that we hunger and thirst for, destroying the hunger and thirst that we should have for the things of God? You see, we're a family here this morning. So may we just speak as one family member to other family members. Is that okay? Some of you are screaming, oh, here come now a ding. So this is not pastor to congregation, or shepherd to flock, or leader to whatever. This is brother to brother, brother to sister. Okay, I wonder what we gather around the most. Prayer meetings or bringing bribes? I think some people in other churches, not Bikers Church, Vol Triangle, some people in other churches are more excited about what's going to happen at the rack run this morning and wat se kos wag daar vir hulle as to what encounter they may or may not have had with God at the prayer meeting this morning. I'm just saying, no one in this church, but people in other churches that you know of. I wonder, when we get together in our Christian circles and our fellowship, if you stand back as an outsider on the fly on the wall, what is the general topic of conversation amongst us? Politics? Rugby? Sport? Bikes? Or Jesus? People have criticized the length that pastors take with some of their sermons. And I was having this conversation with somebody and I said, I submit to you that the issue is not time. Because what's your favorite movie? And they told me. And I said, that movie's over 2 hours long. Did you sleep? Did you look at your watch and skin? Yes, when's this movie going to be over? No, it was like when the movie ended, it was like, oh. But we come to church, it's like, hierdie ou moet nou klaar kry, hoor. And I understand it's just me. But every now and again, just every now and again, God speaks in this place. Every now and again, in spite of me, He speaks. And when He speaks, do we have a hunger and a thirst in our souls for that, or is it like? You see, when I wake up in the morning, is it like, I've got to have something from God today, my daily bread. Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Or am I skimming, hey, ek moet nou my reg kry, because die volgende jaw is dan op die almanak. What do I hunger and thirst for? So Jesus is saying, If you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're not going to be happy. If you hunger and thirst for other things, that hunger and thirst is insatiable. It is never satisfied. You cannot satisfy it. It cannot be satisfied. Unless you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says, then you will be filled. If you're hunger and thirsting for something else, you're going to keep being hungry and keep being thirsty, and you're never going to be filled. So if you're hungering and thirsting for something else, the next car, the next house, the next bike, the next lover, the next relationship, the next whatever, the next promotion, whatever, and those things have their place in our lives, granted. But God wants us to hunger and thirst for His righteousness, and then we shall be filled. What are the things that destroy our appetites for God? What are the things that destroy our appetites for God? You see, the human being, we said this when we did our series on fasting, has four appetites. An appetite for sex, an appetite for spiritual things, an appetite for material possessions, and then an appetite for food. Take a guess which is the strongest appetite out of all of those. There we go. Some people listen. The strongest appetite of the human appetites is the appetite for food. All right? And somebody once said this to me. Now, throw stones at me, shoot me with arrows, get upset with me. If your feelings are hurt, I really don't care. I'm not in the feeling business. I don't do feelings. I do truth. I'm not here to make friends. If you like me, great. If not, you'll get over it. So I don't do feelings. Somebody once said to me, if your appetite is out of control, chances are the rest of your life is out of control. And I'm going to leave it there. You make of that what you will. So I ask, what are the things that kills and destroys our appetite for God? Well, let's have a look at that, shall we? Jesus gives us a clear explanation of that in the book of Mark. Come with me to the book of Mark, please. We're going to read from verse 3 to 9, erstens. He explains this to us. What destroys our appetite for the things of God? Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. Listen, everybody say, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. How many of you this morning have ears to hear? Put up your ears. I want to see you get that right. Put up your ears. So what is it? In this parable, there's only one seed. There's one kind of seed. Can you see any other kinds of seed in that parable? There's one kind of seed. And there's only one sower. The sower is Jesus and people like you and me who live for His life and love and to spread His message. You get that? So the seed is the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. It is the same seed. It is the same seed. There's not contaminated seed. It is the undefiled, pure Word of God, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And the sower is Jesus and His laborers. Why is it then that the results are so different in that parable? Why is it that the results are so different? The soil is the different conditions of different people's hearts. I'll give an example. So, I enjoy motorcycling. At home, I do what's known as praise and worship. When the World Superbike Series starts and the MotoGP starts, I sit in front of the TV and I do praise and I worship. Devotions, sorry, I do devotions, not praise and worship, my wife. I do devotions. I devote myself to watching these motorcyclists do what they do, and it's like, wow. That's my devotions. I know you spiritual people, you do Christian stuff for devotions, but for devotions, I watch motorcycle racing. So here's this guy who's passionate about motorcycle racing, and he appreciates a once-off prototype MotoGP racing machine. State of the art, nothing like it, costs several million dollars per bike. Several million. I think they're like 13 million now or something. I don't know. It's ridiculous. That's what they cost. And for argument's sake, for argument's sake, that motorbike stands here. And I come and I'm like, wow, look at this and look at that. And I'm checking this out. And I'm checking the technology. And I'm enjoying it. And some person that couldn't care less about motorbikes comes into the same place, looks at the bike and schemes, oh, I wonder if they got coffee here. Can you see the difference? It's the condition of that person's heart. The one person understands how important motorcycles are. And the other person doesn't really care. And that's indicative of the condition of our hearts. The one person sits under the Word of God that's living and powerful and has the ability to transform lives and just change you forever. And the other person's like, it's net nog 'n preek. So here's this example. There's this worship team. They have this unusual name. And they minister Sunday in, Sunday out at a certain place. And the congregation kind of responds, and it's like kind of okay for them, you know. Same worship team, same people, same songs go elsewhere. And they do what God is enabling them to do. And heaven comes down. What's changed? The condition of the people's hearts. I experienced that. Like I said, this is family talk, so this is Mozzie being Mozzie this morning. I experienced that when our worship team had the privilege of ministering at another fellowship, another house of faith. And there were several teams that day and came up and did their thing. And our team got up. And when they started playing, heaven came down. You could physically feel the anointing hit that building. Bam! And people were touched. I submit to you that perhaps the condition of those people's hearts were different. A little bit more receptive and less critical. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. So I wonder, what are the things that throttle our appetite for the things of God in our lives? See, our heart attitude will determine the result of the Word of God in our lives. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, what are the things that choke this Word? Let's read further, shall we? From verse 13. From verse 13 of Mark, verse 4. And he says, and then he said to him, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And verse 19 says, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. Everybody say, desires for other things. Entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Man, I want to preach on this for 16 weeks on its own, just those verses. There's three parts there. They hear, they receive, and there's fruit. But we're not going to look at that. We're going to look at this morning about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. What are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches? What are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches? Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 27, in the New Living Translation, it says this, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. So some of the cares of the world are the worries. The things that we worry about. We worry about where we're going to get this. How we're going to afford that. What's going to happen if this. It's all these worries. The New King James says, by worrying, can you add one cubit to your stature? It means, can you make yourself bigger or taller or better by worrying? No, you can't. So that's some of the cares of this world, are the worries of this world. Somebody once said this, don't be careless, just care less. Don't be careless, just care less. Die kommernisse van die wêreld. Oh, en ek sien van julle sit hier vanoggend en julle is so vol kommernisse, nê? Julle is so vol kommernisse, die kommernisse. Koses tatarada sheteke. Ke barata kabarada sokombo bo sheteke. Just continue to pray in the Spirit. God is in this house. Amen. What's 44? Sure, who's a nursing sister? Okay. Lady sister over here? That's okay. In Jesus' name. Testa kaba shuturu. Betlere de setarata. Ketlarata starata kaba. Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's continue to worship Jesus. Thank you, Lord. She's fine. Hallelujah. She's in God's hands. God is good. Ons praat van kommernisse en die duivel gee vir ons 'n geleentheid hoe om te kommer. And Jesus is still Lord. Hallelujah. Van julle is bleek geskrik. Julle het nog nie die glimlag op die tannie se gesig gesien nie. Dalk moet jy net bietjie na die tyd met haar chat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. So the worries of the world, the cares of this world. Okay, ek sien van julle so bekommerd. So let's just praise Jesus. Let's just praise Jesus and give God thanks and praise in this house, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give God thanks and praise. God is good. All the time. Hallelujah. Jy is nog steeds bekommerd, nê? I just sense that there's a spirit of fear that has grabbed hold of people's hearts this morning. I want you to say with me, please, out loud, that that spirit can hear this. God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Spirit of fear, leave, go. God has not given me a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Spirit of fear, go in Jesus' name. You don't belong here. You don't belong in my mind. You don't belong in my heart. And you don't belong in this place. Spirit of fear, go in Jesus' name. That's it. Settle. So as I was saying before the devil tried to interrupt, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, worrying about stuff that we cannot change anyway. Worrying about stuff that we cannot change anyway. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. How can riches be deceitful? Ek meen, op die einde van die dag, God wants us to have lekker stuff, isn't it? Some of you don't agree. Some of you believe the lie that you're supposed to sickle and be in poverty because that's the Christian walk. I want to tell you, God wants you to have lekker stuff. He doesn't want the lekker stuff to have you. I'm unashamed about the desires that God has placed in my heart because He's placed them there. God likes lekker stuff. Have you seen the description of His posse? Just read the Bible. Check out the description of His house. And then come tell me God don't like nice stuff, man. Wake up and read your Bible too. But how can riches become deceitful? How can riches become deceitful? As ons praat van aardelike besittings. Would you like to know? Okay, make sure you come back next week. We're going to carry on. Riches can become, I'm just going to mention two this morning. Two ways in which riches can become deceitful. When they destroy our appetite for God. You get so much stuff. Look how the Lord has blessed me. And I see people, God blesses them with stuff. And dan sien jy al hoe minder en minder en minder van hulle. You see less of them. Why? Because they're enjoying the stuff. It's like God has blessed you. He's blessed you. But what about His stuff? That's how riches can become deceitful. As I get this lekker bike and all I do op 'n Sondag wanneer ek by mekaar kom vir die samesyn van die gelowiges, is ek daarso met die spit en die polish put. It's good to look after it, but I spend more time on my knees in front of this thing cleaning it than I do in my prayer room. That's when this becomes deceitful, church. Can you get the picture? You see, God gives the new this and the new that. And guess what? Suddenly you have less time for fellowship. That's when riches become deceitful. Is anybody getting a message out of this morning, church? That's when riches become deceitful. The one way. The second way is when we think that the things that we can get can do what only Jesus can do for us. I think, you know what? If I can just get that, dan gaan het beginne goed loop met my. Then if I could just get this deal, if they could just give me this contract, then you're going to check. Then I'm going to put a smile on my dial. Then I'll be happy are the people who's God. But until, when you tricked into thinking that the things can do for you what only Jesus Christ can do for you, church, that's when riches become deceitful. So what are the things that choke the word? The word of God is choked by three things. Just quickly, and we see this from, I didn't give this to the scripture, this to the guys at the back, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, I believe it is. 1 John 2, 15 and 17. It speaks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All sins are based in those things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's why in the desert, Satan tempted Jesus on those three areas. Just try to get him on those three things, because all the other manifestations of sin are rooted in those things. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the things that choke our appetite for God. And we need to guard our hearts and our lives against those things coming in and choking this. Do we hunger and thirst for the things of God? Are you learning something this morning, church? So, the idea is that we hunger and thirst for God, or else we will not be happy. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So unless you hunger and thirst for these things, you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to be filled. Al die besittings, al die whatever in die wereld, gaan nie een verskil maak nie. Unless you hunger and thirst for these things first. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, don't worry about these things. First seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then these things will be added to you. You see, if God, if you make decisions in your life to the point where you seek those things and edge God out of your life, he knows those things are going to get you. Those things are going to get you. And that's immense. You're never going to be fulfilled. That's why he said it. He didn't tell you that because he says, luister, all that you have to do is, gaan kerk toe, dag in, dag uit. 24/7, 365, gaan kerk toe. Dis wat het beteken om die koninkrijk van God te soek. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying, church. So we need to seek a hunger and thirst for righteousness for ourselves, and then, when God was dropping this in my spirit, I got excited all over again, because that's what this church is about. I'm so glad that he called me to this church and not to a normal church. Because normal is overrated, eh? Normal is a setting on a washing machine. I'm telling you. And that got me excited again. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness for others. And this church is very much focused on reaching the others, bringing the unchurched into the family of God. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness for others or just yourself? Now think about that a little bit. It's one thing if you know somebody's done you in and you think, I demand justice because, and that's cool and that's great. But are you as passionate about it when somebody else is done in? Of as jy maar, jou saak is jou saak, bel. Jammer om te hoor van jou. You see, I submit to you that Jesus would have a different attitude. You see, Jesus came to ensure justice and righteousness for others as well. Philippians teaches us that. It says, do not look out only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. You see, that's the kingdom balance. So I believe what God wants to say to us this morning as well, church, is that hunger and thirst for righteousness is good, but also hunger and thirst for righteousness for others. You say, who do not that, Mozzie? Well, just keep coming to this church. We'll teach you. You get Jesus, live Jesus, and give Jesus. Not complicated. Did you get that? There's a whole 7-year Bible degree in that statement. get Jesus, live Jesus, give Jesus. Who didn't understand that? Moet ek in Afrikaans sê? Hy het sy hand opgesteek, hy verstaan het nie. But I think I know what he meant. He meant, I do get it. You get it, brother. Yeah. That's it. That's how you can hunger and thirst for righteousness for other people. Get Jesus. Love Jesus. Give Jesus. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness for other people. And then I realized, you know, Proverbs 31 verse 8 and 9 says, open your mouth for the speechless. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. There it is. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. The Message paraphrase says the following. Gooi het op ons in a Message. Speak up for the people who have no voice, for the rights of all the down and outers. But what is, I love that, the down and outers. What is the attitude of the world? No ways, I got enough issues of my own to sort out. Ek kan nie nog tyd maak om aandag te gee aan die en die en die probleem en die se issue en die. No ways, I've got, listen, you know, I've got, jy weet, ons allemaal het ons eie kruis om te dra. You know, I can't, and it's true, and it's real. And sometimes you're not supposed to poke your nose in other people's business, but sometimes you are. Not your nose, but the life and love of Jesus, man. Come on, church. You're supposed to take His life and love to other people. Not like you've got a solution to their problem, that you can fix them because they're broken, but you give them the love of Jesus. Is His life and love alive in you? Is it something that's just, man, iemand preek dit vir jou op 'n Sondag en dan gaan jy, and then you live like hell from Monday to Saturday, and on Sondag feature man weer net as 'n Christen, an undercover agent for the gospel. Sometimes we're supposed to, man, rafel uit hierso. Okay. Hallelujah. Hy hoort nie daar nie. So, as long as the pants stay up, I'm good. We're supposed to take the life and the love of Jesus to people. We're supposed to have the concerns of the down and outers here. We spoke about that when a couple of other verses ago, not weeks ago, when Jesus is saying, you know, look at the need. What breaks our heart? Does it break your heart when other people's hearts are broken? Does it break your heart when you see the tragedies that we're sitting with in the world today? Or is it just like, oh well? And that's what this is, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of others, speaking up on behalf of those who cannot speak. And I'm going to make this practical this morning. It's like you're in a situation of like a conversation. People are talking about various things. En die mense se negatiewe belydenis kom een na die ander. It's one negative thing after the next. One negative thing. Ja, die die en die daai. Die regering die en die effing dit en die effing dat. Ja, come on. Come on. And I'm moaning, what, and dan sit jy daar so met 'n mond vol tande. When the word of God is in you. When the word of God is in you, then I'm bly jy maar net stil, because if I start sharing about Jesus now, then I think I'm jy's een van daai. When the people talk, ja, dit is so sleg, en ons gaan soos die res van Afrika word, man. Dit is net warra, warra, warra. And then you keep quiet when the truth is actually inside you. That's what it means to speak up. Speak up for what you know is truth and what you know is life. For the speech of some people, they're so down and out. We spoke about it last week. They don't even have hope. They can't speak positive things because they don't know Jesus. They don't know His ways. They don't know His life. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know the blessings of sweet fellowship. They don't know the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't know the anointing of God. They don't know the heart of the Father. And we come there and we got all of that inside of us. And on bly ons maar stil. Nee, maar as ons kom om oor rugby te praat oor hierdie braai, dan praat ons, papa. Then we speak. But that's people in other churches, not this church. That's speaking up for those who cannot speak, for the speechless. And in the New Living Translation, the second edition, says this. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless. And see that they get justice. Come on, man. That's the church being the church. Mense say, ja, well, die kerk moet een kant wees en die politiek die ander kant wees. I want to tell you, you're deceived, man. Jesus was in the face of the politicians. Sure. He was in the face of the politicians. Don't come and tell me rubbish that the church must be separate and politics separate. The church must be so real and relevant that it transforms politics in the country. The church must set the standard, man. The church must set the standard for how to take care of people and how to do things. Nie maar ons onttrek ons, because it's not my besigheid nie. Really? Really? I shame, man. You need a check up from the neck up. I'm not saying you must go into politics and become a whatever, but just, I cannot be honest to tell. Get Jesus, live Jesus, and give Jesus. That will transform this nation from the inside out, not from parliament out. Come on, man. This week we had a privilege. One of our Bikers Church pastors, Pastor Jackie van Dyk from the Secunda Bikers Church, opened parliament in Mpumalanga for the DA. A man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, loves Jesus, opened parliament in Mpumalanga. Church of Jesus Christ needs to speak up. Needs to speak up. Be the church that he had in his mind when he offered up his life on the cross. And I'm going to start landing this thing now. I think I've been preaching way too long for some people. And jylle wil gaan ry. That's fine. Hallelujah. Jesus said we must be filled. We must be filled. Ladies and gentlemen, only Jesus can fill us. You see, I want to say this to you. I just feel prompted to say this. Some of you have experienced the miraculous supervision of God in your life. You've experienced God supernaturally providing for you when there was no way out. You just couldn't, and God supernaturally provided. I want to tell you that even that is not going to be enough for you. You see, even the supernatural provision of God will get you to a place where that's not enough for you until you get Jesus. I mean, really get Jesus. You see, that sense of being unfulfilled in our lives, even the stuff that God blesses you with, that's a sovereign work of God that He miraculously provided for you, even that one day will be like, da gaan 'n hinkering. Is that the right word, Peter? There'll be like a hinkering binnen jou vir iets anders. Unless your life is filled with the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. Is your life filled with the person of Jesus? Do you have an intimate, day-to-day, living, vibrant relationship with the God of all things? Or just the things of this God? I'd like the deep end to come up. You see, because even though He supernaturally provides that he's created every human being to only be completely fulfilled when we have all of Him in all of us. When we have all of Him in all of us. You see, if you're not yet there in your relationship with God, my encouragement to you this morning is that you let God make you hungry. And I gave these scriptures to the guys at the back there. This is not something I can't leave now on Sunday and I start preparing for the next week's message that way in advance. I can't go there and say, now, Lord, make me hungry. Hunger. Thirst. No, wait, I'm still not feeling hungry and thirsty. So let me try this. I'll sing this song. I'll read the scripture verse. I'll go to this teaching, that prophet, or whatever. I'll do. Hunger. Thirst. You can't muster that up in you. Some of you have realized that. Hello. You don't have that hunger and thirst for Jesus and for the things of God. Don't put up your hand now, but you know you don't. Yes, 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 the beauty of the gospel. It's good news. God's not expecting you to do that. He'll give it to you. I said He'll give it to you. I said God will give you that desire. Philippians 2 and verse 13 says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to His good pleasure. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to His good pleasure. Psalm 65 and verse 4 says this, blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach you. Don't want to misquote that, Psalm 65 and verse 4, is it right? Should it? Yeah. Psalm 65 and verse 4. No, you know what? It's not Psalms, Mozzie. I'll tell you now. And last week I was looking for a scripture about those people who know their God will do great and mighty exploits. It's Daniel 11:32. See? So in case you want, and I apologize for not giving that to you, but there it is. It says this, Psalm 65 and verse 4. The B part of it. You'll see. See, scroll, you'll find there. It says, let's just get there quickly. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you. There we go. That's the one. That he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with goodness of your house, O Lord. So in other words, it is God. If you openly and honestly with your life, in all sincerity, come before God and say, God, Mozzie spoke about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and ek weet nie is wat dit is nie. Lord, make me hungry. Stick around. If you're sincere, and jy is opreg in daai begeerte van jou, Lord, I want to hunger and thirst for you. I want to be like this deer. When I wake up in the morning, I mustn't think, oh God, is it morning again? Or do you wake up like, good God, there's a new morning. Maybe you wake up and say, oh God, it's another, how am I going to get through this day? I just pray that by the Spirit of God, He turns that desperation and hunger in you to seeking Him, really seeking, like a deer pants for the water. When you wake up in the morning, die hinkering binnen in jou, mag dit wees vir die dinge van God. Mag dit wees vir jou stilte tyd. I don't have a quiet time. I stopped being quiet the day I met Jesus, because it's either Him talking or me talking, but there ain't no quietness. There ain't no quietness. But we understand the concept of quiet time. Jy sonder jouself af. To hunger and thirst, say, God, Mozzie spoke about being hungry. I don't know what it's like. Spirit of God, make me hungry like this. And if you pray that in sincerity, watch what God will do to you, sir, ma'am. Watch what He'll do. He'll make you hungry. He'll make you thirsty. He'll make you hungry and He'll make you thirsty. That song that we sang, I want us to sing it again, Rain. Lord, let it rain. Let your Spirit rain. I often wonder, Lord, why is there, and this is just me being Mozzie again, why is there, why is there such limited outpourings of your Spirit in our fellowship? Here and there, there's a little bit of sprinkling of the Holy Ghost touching. But why is it so limited? And then, other times, at other places, there's such an outpouring of the Spirit, people can't stand. I submit to you. I wonder if it's got to do with the hunger and thirst of us. I wonder if it's because I am not hungry and thirsty for the things of God. I wonder if it's because I'm not hungry and thirsty for a new, fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God in my life. I wonder if it's because before I'm finished preaching, I'm already thinking about watching the MotoGP on TV afterwards. I'm just saying. I wonder if those are the reasons why there's a limited movement of God in this fellowship. See, where do I get that from? Where do I get that from? Mozzie, that's like, it's a bit harsh. You say that, Mozzie, are you? You say things like that. In Mark chapter 6, verse 4 to 6, it says there, let me just read it. May I read it for you, church? Mark 6, 4 to 6. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could, whoa, listen to this. Now he could, that's God himself, that's Jesus. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So I wonder if Jesus marvels here at the condition of our hearts and says, okay, well, you know, maybe there's people that are hungrier and thirstier for the move of my Spirit elsewhere, so let me pour out my Spirit there. I wonder. This is not the kind of preaching that get people shouting and clapping their hands and wanting to put more money in the offering, hey? But I believe we need to hear this. I wonder if it's like that. Because you see, the kingdom of God is built on the condition of people's hearts. And if my heart is not hungry and receptive for the things of God, guess what? I ain't going to get the things of God. It will be same old, same old. Sondag in, sondag uit. I wonder. You want signs and wonders? You want miracles and stuff like that? So do I. But am I hungry for the things of God? Sure. I wonder. There was a time, and this really is the last scripture verse that I'm going to quote. I'm just really doing my best to be obedient to the Spirit of God this morning. Is that okay? In Mark chapter 3, there's an old mozzie that battles with anger issues. It gets angry at people unnecessarily because of my self-righteousness and my pride and my arrogance and my preconceived ideas about how people should and shouldn't be. And I look at people and I think, you know, when are you going to get it? When are you just going to apply what I teach to your life? When are you just going to get it? And I get like angry. It's people in other churches. It's none of you guys. It's when I get invited to preach elsewhere. I think, when are you just going to get it? Please just apply it to your life. It will change you. And I get angry when people don't do that. I'm like, ah. And I thought, yes, Mozzie, you know, you're such a fleshly man. You're such a fleshly man. You're so ongewoond aan die dinge van die gees, man. And I think and I feel the condemnation of the devil about this anger. And then I look at Jesus. And I see that Jesus experienced something exactly what I experience. And I'm like, okay, God. Okay. This changes things. So biki. Mark chapter 3, verse 5. And the gospel says, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Jesus got angry at the hardness of people's hearts. And so he said, okay, you don't want my spirit and the things of me? It's okay. So I wonder, where are we at this morning, church? I'm asking myself, Mozzie, where are you? Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Or are you hungry and thirsty for your own agenda, your own plans, your own schemes, your own ideas, your own life, your own things that make you feel good? Are you hungry for those things? Or are you really hungry and thirsty for God? I don't know about you, but if I want to be hungrier and thirstier than I've ever been. We sing the song, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain, Lord. We're hungry and we're thirsty. Ons praat nie van die weer en hoe droog het is in Gaapstad, hoor. Ja, het is droog in Gaapstad. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason because the majority of this country who call themselves Christians. Nou die dag het iemand van my onlangs statistiek gedeel about how many people are claiming to be Christians. In fact, Jaco sent me a video, audio clip about the percentage Christene. If the Christians are the majority in this nation, why is there such an indifference towards the things of God? Look at this. I'm going to excuse the people. I'm going to carry on preaching because I'm going to preach to myself this morning because I want to hear what God has to say. So I'm going to go into a corner and I'm going to continue to preach to myself this morning. Is look at how we structure our lives. Are our lives geared towards things that make us hungry and thirsty for God, or are our lives geared towards all sorts of other stuff? I wonder. I'm just saying. So may God help us by His Spirit this morning, Lord. Just create a hunger and thirst in our hearts for you, Lord Jesus. What does it mean to be hungry and thirsty for God? What does it mean to pant for the things of God like a deer pants for the water? I'm done preaching. I want us to sing this song. When you sing this song, say, Lord, let it rain. Let it rain, Lord. This heart of mine that doesn't hunger and thirst for you, Lord. And if you're hungry and thirsty, that's great. Bless you. Praise God. Go to somebody, lay hands on them, talk in tongues in their face, and get the Spirit of God to touch them and make them hungry for the things of God. Hallelujah. If you're hungry for the things of God, then let it aansteeklik wees, man. And go and just come on. Oh. You can sit, you can stand, you can go, you can stay, you can do whatever you want to do. Please, feel free. Yeah? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's freedom where the presence of God is. Amen? Amen. If you want to go and you need to go, please, by all means, leave. Please do that. But if you want to pray this prayer in your heart as we sing this song, say, Lord, make me hungry. Make me hungry. Jesus? Oh, Christelle, so cute. She remembers that saying, that thing I said a while ago. Lord, take me, shake me, turn me upside down, empty me of myself, turn me the right way up, and fill me with yourself. If that's where you are in terms of the hunger and thirst for God, then do that this morning. See, pray that as we sing a song. Say, Lord, Philippians 2:13, it is you who works in me to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Pray that, will you? Pray that, and God will answer that prayer for you. Let's worship the Lord together, shall we? Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you hear the cry of the hungry, Lord, and you respond to the call of the desperate. If you're here this morning and you've been listening to the